Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. It's Brian behind the glass, and it's a Monday edition of The Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. How's everybody? Everybody good Easter?
Very good. How about you?
Good Easter. Thank you. Good Easter, Brian?
Yeah, it was fine.
That didn't sound great.
What's going on?
Why, Brian?
What's wrong with you?
Well, I mean, fine is not the way we celebrate Easter.
Brian, that show's over. Pay attention to our show.
Sorry, intern was asking me something, apparently. Anyway, why was the Easter not great?
Yeah, you sound like you had a disappointing Easter.
I don't know. I mean, it's just a day. It was fine.
Easter's just a day, huh?
I don't want to get into the whole thing, but yeah, it's just a day.
Did you have a fight with the missus?
No, it was fine. That's fine. I mean, it would have been better with a Rockets win.
Someone steal your chocolate.
Would have been better with an Astros win.
Did the Rockets and Astros loss affect your day?
No, not really.
Okay.
Maybe the culmination of a Rockets loss, an Astros loss, terrible finish to WrestleMania.
So that's greater than Easter. All of those things, greater than Easter and family, I'm learning.
I care about it more.
I mean, do you think that he'd be mourning the Pope?
Whoa!
I did not.
Wow, he just said that sports and WrestleMania are more important than his family.
No, I didn't.
I think you did.
You said two things. You said more important, and then you listed two things.
Are any of those two things greater than family?
No.
Family, like Brian Kelly. Okay. Did you back in your truck today?
I don't think so.
Oh, no, on a Monday.
I thought he did. I saw his type of truck backed in, so I thought it was him. I was going to tell him how proud of him I was.
No, I didn't pull it. I didn't back in.
Okay, all right.
Someone almost took off my car door trying to back in, though, while I was getting out.
While you were getting out?
Yeah, I was getting out. I had the truck door open, and they just started backing in. It got within a couple of feet before they realized, hey, there's a car here.
That isn't good.
Someone else decided that they could just drop someone off who was going to, I guess, run in, run out. And parked across two open spots under the covered parking deal.
Two.
And I'm waiting, and they're like giving me the look and the what's up? Like, what are you waiting? I'm like, well, you're blocking two spots. I'm going to be here for three, four hours. What the hell are you doing?
You should have got out and beat him up.
No, it's not worth all that.
I would have enjoyed it.
I know you would have, but I got too much to lose. I got kids.
That's a great point. That is true.
Yeah, but you hate kids. What does it matter?
Well,
that is also true.
According to some, which is not true, but.
Rockets lost yesterday. I ate up 4 minutes without having to talk about it. Not a great game one, Blankers.
No, there's a lot to uncover here. You look at it, and this is what I was fearful of. When we had this conversation going into the playoffs before we even knew who they were going to play. And this is kind of like the next progression in the growing pains when you've got a young team. I think this kind of goes back to when we went for the transition from Silas to Ime. It was like, okay, it's going to take a little while. And they're going to take some lumps, and they're going to continue to make some mistakes. And you got to work it out. And now you don't know what you don't know. And so for the first time, Jalen and Jabari and Amen and all these guys experienced playoff basketball for the first time, and it's a different animal, and we got a full taste of it in terms of when I was talking about, let's see who these guys are, let's see who's capable of stepping up, and for one game, we kind of found out that they found out it's a different beast.
Look, they played poorly.
Yeah.
They played poorly. Do I think it's going to cover up seven games, potentially, if necessary? I hope not. I hope that's not the case. I think they played poorly yesterday. Do I think they played poorly because of experience, though? No, not really. I think they played poorly because they were really bad on the offensive end and they shot terribly. I didn't watch that game yesterday and say they lost because of experience.
There were times I did. And there were times that, I mean, you heard Jalen talk about it after the game, too, where he was like, it's the playoffs. And, you know, I think he didn't realize some things when he was kind of elaborating on that first game. But he obviously he vows to be better in game two. But I think when you look at, we talk about Jimmy Butler and playoff Jimmy, and everybody's like, is that a real deal or is that a nickname? He's able to elevate his game because everything is elevated around him to where little things become key plays. I don't think the Warriors played their best basketball either. And I think that they have a lot of reasons to do exactly what the Rockets are going to do and say, we can play better. Yeah, you certainly can. But in the case of the Warriors, your two stars did exactly what they expected them to do. And I think that, you know, I think there's things with Ime, there's things with the team itself where I look at this and I kind of expected it, but I think that this is part, like I said, these are growing pains that they have to go through.
I guess, look, I'm not arguing, so to speak. I don't think that experience was the primary reason they lost that game yesterday. And we can just have a difference of opinion of that. Mm-hmm. I would go offensive productivity and shooting way before I go experience in that game. Now, you bring up, like, both teams can get better, and obviously everybody can get better at any point of time. Who do you think played closer to their ceiling yesterday?
See, I think that you can say the individuals played closer to their ceiling, but
no, I'm talking about teams. Like Golden State, Houston, who played closer to their overall ceiling as a team yesterday?
I think Golden State played more. You can say that because they got production out of their two best players.
No doubt. Like, to me, Golden State, if we're calling their ceiling a 10, I think that they played like an 8. Maybe 7, somewhere 7 to 8 range. I think the Rockets played like at a 3 or a 4. I don't think they were close to their best yesterday. They were awful. And you brought up Jalen Green. And, like, he was atrocious. Jalen Green was very, very bad in that game yesterday. He shot poor. He started off extremely passive. He did not make a single three in the game. And the most annoying thing above all of that was that he continuously drove into traffic time after time after time. He didn't know where to go with the basketball. Anytime he penetrated, he was making poor decisions. He was making bad reads. He shot the ball poorly. Jalen Green's first ever playoff game as a basketball player was a train wreck, was atrocious, was very, very bad. You can continue that conversation with Fred VanVleet, who has the experience. He was 4-for-19 shooting, 2-for-13 from three. And at what point do you let other people shoot the ball? He missed 11 three-pointers yesterday. Dylan Brooks is a good three-point shooter. He took 5 threes yesterday. Hit 2 of them, by the way, 40%. Why didn't Dylan Brooks shoot the ball double-digit times as opposed to Fred VanVleet missing 11 of them? Jabari Smith is a pretty good shooter, right? Like, we all think Jabari Smith's a pretty good shooter. You know how many three-pointers he attempted yesterday? He shot one three-pointer. One three-pointer.
He made it out of the corner.
Brought it, like, cut it to like 3, I think, at the time. So you have – look, this is not a good shooting team. Like, that's been a conversation with the Houston Rockets all season long. They are not a good shooting team. You shouldn't have one singular player missing 11 three-point shots in that game. You should have the feel of, okay, it's not my night. I'm a point guard. Let me see if I can get Dylan Brooks some looks, who's 40% from three. Let me see if I can get Jabari some looks, who is one of our better three-point shooters and hit his only three in the game, even though he did come in the fourth quarter. I'm not sure who I'm more ticked off with, Fred VanVleet or Jalen Green, because they both have my ire.
So that's what I was going to say. It's one thing to say all the things you said about how badly Jalen played, but then Fred played worse. So when you combine for 7 of 34 from the field and you take a good portion of the shots your team is going to take for the night, you're already screwed. But then on top of it, when I look at Ime, and that's why I said there's things with Ime, at a certain point, if Fred's not going to stop, get him off the floor. Because he's on the floor to be a coach on the floor. He's on the floor to make the right decisions. The right decision for him was not to keep shooting, especially from 35 feet. And he kept cranking him up from way too long for a guy that's not on a heater. So that annoyed the hell out of me. The other thing is when Alpi gets going early, you basically were succumbing all night long to playing Golden State's tempo. And I talked about it last week going into the series. You don't want to play their style. You want to play your own style. And I think that you also have to adjust your style. When Alpi got it going, and you could find out, we talked about their lack of defensive bigs. He could get in, he could get whatever he wanted, and I would have started to run everything through him as much as I could, and they just didn't have any concept off. They went back to almost Steven Silas-esque isolation ball over and over again during that game. And I'm going, what are you doing? Your best player tonight is Alpi Şengün, and you are basically avoiding him.
Well, they went a lot of zone to try to take that away. Like, they were starting to do some 1-3-1, 2-3 zones. Like, Steve Kerr threw the kitchen sink at them to try to get the ball out of Alpi's hands. Because you're right, that is their biggest mismatch. They don't have an answer for Alpi Şengün. Draymond Green probably going to win the Defensive Player of the Year. He got abused by Alpi Şengün yesterday. Like, Alpi Şengün had zero problem scoring on the Defensive Player of the Year. A lot of that's because of the size. Like, Draymond doesn't have the rim protection to be able to stop Alpi Şengün. So that has to be a priority. You have to me, the bigger thing going forward is because they're Golden State running that zone defense, and it's hard to score in the lane whenever you have going up against the zone defense, especially with the 1-3-1, is you have to figure out a way to counter that, attack that, and beat that. Because if you don't do that, you're going to get beat in four or five games. You have to have the answers. And I think it was Kelly Eco on The Athletic today who we had on last week. He showed different plays on his story today where the Rockets have beaten it this season. Like, he showed very specific, similar plays that happened in the regular season where the Rockets had the spacing, point of attack, Jalen Green gets rid of the ball, creates a 4-on-3 advantage for the Rockets on the offensive end. So they're capable of doing it. They have to do it, though. If they can't beat the zone, this is going to be a short series.
Yeah, and I think that you touched on it. It's tougher to beat the zone when you don't have shooters. You got scorers. You got a lot of guys that can score. Fred's supposed to be a shooter. He's not anymore. At this point, he's too inconsistent. But you're not going to play Reed Shepard. So we said the bugaboo for this team over the last couple of years has been a lack of pure shooting. They just don't have that. So you have to find ways to create lanes out of the 1-3-1. You have to find ways with ball movement and body movement to try and quickly move the ball to try and create open opportunities. And maybe that's not threes. Maybe that's just the fact that you get the best shot available. And I think that to the experience point that I was making too, Ahmed looked very, very tight all night long. Jalen was forcing stuff like this was all night long, like this was a different animal than he had ever experienced. So that's where I thought the experience paid off for Golden State in the fact that they knew when to slow it down. They knew when to attack. And that offense doesn't change, right? That's something that they run no matter what and who's in the game. And I thought that the Rockets kind of had to get their feet wet to figure it out that this is a different level.
No doubt. I mean, Golden State has the experience advantage, and in those areas of the game, they have the advantage there. But it wouldn't be a top two thing I look at as to why the Rockets lost yesterday.
They just played horribly, right, across the board?
I thought they played fine defensively. Like, I know Steph Curry went off and had 31 and was knocking in everything, and in playoff Jimmy had 25. You hold Golden State to 95 points, that's a good day on the defensive end.
Steph made three just hoping a Hershey.
Unbelievable.
I mean, I don't know anybody else in the league that's making those shots.
Like, if you would have told me the Rockets are going to give up 95 points to the Warriors every game in this series, who's not signing up for that?
Right.
Everybody's signing up.
To me,
this
wasn't even about the defense. This was more about the fact that offensively there was no continuity all night long.
No, that's my one thing. The one thing, why did the Rockets lose game one? The offense was atrocious. And you might even be able to use my second reason as like a subpoint to reason number one. Poor shooting. Like, a lot of times you have poor offensive execution and you can get bailed out with good shooting. Half of Steph Curry's threes weren't these unbelievable great offensive sets. You mentioned the one where he's falling out of bounds and heaves up a three and makes it. Was that a great offensive look? No. It's just you have a guy who's the best three-point shooter of all time that can bail you out of poor offensive execution. So the Rockets, one, had terrible offensive execution yesterday, and then secondly, did not have the shooting to overcome poor execution.
Yeah, no, and I think that the other thing, too, like, when you do find things that work, you had a massive advantage in the paint. Mm-hmm. But I think that they went away from it. They got careless, and again,
well, zone will do that to you, though.
Yeah, but also the fact that they got stuck kind of in the laundry up on top too much, and then the shot clock went down, and then they were forced to take a lot of bad shots off of that too. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is, Steven Adams, we talked about this going into this series. You can't do it for like the whole game, but Steven Adams was massively effective and affected the game positively. When you knew other guys weren't having their best night, he and Jabari brought you back, you took him out with 5:19 to go in the fourth quarter when he was a problem.
Yeah, he was gassed, though.
I think he was gassed.
He was gassed.
But you never brought him back.
Yeah, that's fair
point. And that's my biggest problem. I don't disagree that he was winded, right? Because we said there's only so much you can get out of Steven Adams. But you got to try and give him one more shot. And when you get it down to four late in the game, simply because he's going to get you a second chance when you miss a basket.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm good with that. Like, the double big was interesting. And they didn't really go double big in the second half when Steven Adams was having his success. Like, Alpe was off the floor, actually. I thought in the first half the double big got him in trouble. Because, like, they were up by 6 points whenever they went with the double big. And they had Jabari playing
Jabari,
the three.
It was their jumbo lineup. It was just, like, the biggest lineup you could put out there.
And I feel... I mean, they lost the lead. I mean, they went from being 6 point up to like 6 or 8 points down with their jumbo lineup. So, like, Steven Adams was critical in the second half outside of the jumbo lineup, which, look, the jumbo lineup has some issues if you can't shoot the ball. Like, we know Jabari is a pretty good shooter, but he had 1-3. Tari's capable of making threes. He was 0-4 yesterday. Alpe and Steven Adams are not three-point shooters, although Alpe tried a heat check early first quarter from three. And Amin Thompson's not a good three-point shooter. So, like, that lineup is going to have trouble shooting the basketball, scoring the basketball. So, like, that's a huge area of concern. There was one thing that you mentioned, tempo. I have a counterpoint to that. We'll hit that on the other side. Okay. A lot of the Hivers want to chat about this game, too. I imagine we'll chat about this game in great detail. Also get to the good, bad, and the ugly a little bit later. Mailbag Monday coming up as well. And it is also NFL draft week. We'll get to some of that as well. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. But not for long. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitter, ESPN975. Blankers at Pac-Man Joel. Brian at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. We are the Bees, ESPN975 and ESPN925. It was a bad night for the local basketball teams. Bad night for the local nine. Don't let it be a bad day, month, year for you by overpaying on your property taxes. Being a homeowner comes with great costs, including those property taxes. Don't pay too much. Owill's here to help you take some of that stress, though, off your plate. You don't want to do the petition process. You don't want to have to do the whole kit and caboodle. I understand that. Don't do it. Let Owill do that. A lot of homeowners overpaying on property taxes should not be you. Head to Owill.com right now. Sign up in less than 3 minutes and get their experts fighting for you. Their cutting-edge technology can start saving you money with no upfront cost. That's right. All reward, no risk. There's no risk for you to sign up, and it takes a very little amount of your time. So go sign up, Owill.com, 3 minutes, and you could potentially save big money. Here's some numbers. 86% of Owill's customers receive a reduction. Of that 80%, the average customer saves over $1,100. So what are you waiting for? Why would you not go to Owill.com, sign up in less than 3 minutes right now, and get their team fighting for you? Now, the deadline to protest, May 15th, so don't run out of time. You have a few weeks left here. Save money on your property taxes with Owill. While you might have 3 weeks, why not do it now? Sign up in less than 3 minutes. Start that protest today at Ownwell.com, OWNWELL.com, Ownwell.com.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
B-Mac stepping it up, huh? 713-780-ESPN. Our Killer Bees love you. We always say that, and you might think, oh, they're being hyperbolic. They really don't mean what they say. Well, today we're going to put somebody else's money where our mouths are at. We're going to give away a Visa gift card a little bit later, and also a chance for you to watch a new movie. That probably has Brian's interest.
No doubt.
I already have tickets to it.
And Michael.
Yeah.
Michael Carroll's in there with Dell, probably.
So this is Thunderbolts is the movie here?
Yep. Comes out the first weekend in May.
An unconventional team of anti-heroes. They're not super. They're not heroes. And they're not giving up. We'll be playing Man of the People later. Somebody.
I thought that was the Killer Bees.
One buddy will be teaming up with Blankers. One buddy will be teaming up with me. And then whoever wins between Blankers and I, our teammate, is going to get cash. I need 10%. I need 10% to sign up to this game. I want a finder's fee. I want an agent's rate. If one of my guys wins, or ladies, wins, I want to – hey, maybe I'm the – you get two tickets to this here, Brian?
I believe so.
Yeah, I want – yeah, wins a pair of tickets. It's in the read. Read the read, dummy. I want to be the plus one if I win.
You don't even and like Marvel movies.
I don't, but I will. It's the invitation. In fact,
you don't like people.
In fact, that's another good point. I like people. I just don't really like talking to people a whole lot.
At least you had a movie where you don't have to.
I just want the invitation. I'm going to say no.
Okay.
So just lob me the invitation. I'll be like, thanks, no thanks.
It's a very Larry David take.
But I do want 10% of the Visa gift card.
Mm.
It's going to be tough to do that. Maybe you just Venmo me the money and you keep the $100 gift card. But we're going to play that a little bit later. So we're not going to tell you when. We want you listening to the whole show. And we're not going to give away all of our secrets. But we'll do it later. Later. Some point later. 713-780-3776. Okay. My counterpoint's the tempo. I actually want the Rockets to be the high-tempo team in this series. I think tempo fits them more than it fits Golden State.
I understand that. But I think that there's two things to counter that, which is, one, Golden State also wants to play that tempo.
I'm not sure that this roster does.
I think they can play it better.
Like, even Steve Kerr was talking, like, we don't need to get out and run.
You don't need to, but when you do, you're fully capable of doing it better than most teams. One, because you have Steph Curry, but two, because you don't have a lot of bigs anyway. So Jimmy's playing bigger. Draymond's really good getting up and down the floor. He has no problems with that, to where you can. But my bigger problem with tempo last night was when Şengün was going early, Draymond got the quick first foul. I would have liked to seen maybe attack him, try to get a second one on him too.
That block charge was underrated.
Yeah, you're right.
That could have very easily been a block.
Yes, you're absolutely right. But at the same time, like, Alpi was having his way with anybody they went inside with. And I would have flipped a switch if I'm Ime going, we can still play up tempo at the right times. But for right now, especially because they're kind of on their heels a little bit, let's just keep feeding him.
Look, I'm not even sure that the Rockets are better than Golden State on the break. Like, I'm not making that claim. But my point is the Rockets need to get more easy buckets because they're not nearly as good in the half court as Golden State is. Mm-hmm. Like, Golden State doesn't need to be dependent on them getting out in tempo and scoring on the break because they have two elite-level scorers and they can score in the half court. The Rockets really struggled in the half court yesterday. Fewest points at the half. Was it the fewest total points they've had in a game this year, too? 85? Yeah. So, like, they struggled so much scoring the basketball, which was a topic. Like, that was a point of conversation going into the playoffs was, how will the Rockets look in the half court in the playoffs when the games get shrunk down? When the games become more of a half court style of game because you're not getting the easy buckets that you would over the course of 82, over the course of a regular season. So that's why I think the Rockets need to have more tempo, is because their ability to score in the half court's not as high a level as Golden State's.
I think that when you know what playoff basketball is, I think that's where the adjustments are like on steroids, right? I think a lot of times we talk about, well, you make halftime adjustments, and then you come out of the second half, maybe you change things, you do things differently. I think you also have to have a read on your own team, realizing, hey, we want to play up tempo. But if we got guys that just don't have it tonight or haven't found a groove yet and they're still a little on edge for whatever the reason, I'm going to feed the guy that's doing well, right? And then when my other guys kind of get comfortable, now I can flip the switch. I could maybe catch them off guard because maybe they start doing things differently to combat what you're trying to do. And now all of a sudden you can go back and do it.
But isn't that when you go up tempo, though? Like, isn't that whenever you try to get out on the break and run a bit, whenever you have struggle offensively? Like, let's go get some easy buckets. That way we can try to find ourselves and find our rhythm
offensively.
But Alby
was getting those easy buckets. That's what I'm saying. I understand that the Rockets
in the first,
not the second. But in the
first,
when he was rolling, they still kind of went away from it. And I'm like, okay, no one else seems to have a groove going, and they're making bad decisions. They turned the ball over 11 times, I think it was, in the first half, where it was just ugly, ugly, ugly basketball. The one thing working, you kind of went away from. And I'm like, that's my biggest point of contention.
But that's because of Golden State, though. Like, you have to give them credit for taking that element of the Rockets out of it. Like, they started to do more zone. They stopped allowing the Rockets to get the ball in the paint.
But Alpi, just by kind of the way they made their passes and a quick screen or movement, allowed him to get at least to the free throw line. And then on first ball fake, a lot of the Warriors spread out to where he could still get inside the free throw line. And they went away from it. They went to what I was talking about, where they went to kind of getting the ball kind of to stick at the top of the key and get congested. And then all of a sudden look up, go, well, we're under 10. We got to go. And then they started taking really even worse shots than they were taking early on when they were missing everything.
How much of the credit do you give to Golden State defensively?
They're a good defensive team. I think this was like the feeling out the first round of a prize fight. Like, they're both trying to say, okay, for all the prep we did going in, what are they going to do and how do we combat it, and vice versa. And I felt like they did a fine job defending for game one.
Uh-huh.
But I think that, again, a lot of it is going to be can be pointed back to the fact that the Rockets just were completely out of sync offensively all night long.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, it was more Rockets being bad to me. I think Golden State did a good job of counterpunching, and the Rockets really didn't have the counter to the counter. Because I don't even think that's an Ime thing. I think it's more like, okay, this is the stuff that we've been doing. Okay, they have an answer for this. How are we going to respond to that? And they struggled really bad in that response, at least in the second quarter. You can't just take away the second quarter from a game. We know that. But if you just take away the second quarter from that game yesterday, Rockets win going home. So there is that.
I'll be honest with you, though. I don't think Ime likes running the offense through Alpi.
That's a bold statement.
I know it is, and I thought about it before I made it, because I thought about it all last night watching the game. Because to me, to the point you made, they want to play up-tempo. So when they play up-tempo, they normally want the ball in a guard's hands. And so when I watched last night, I was like, maybe there is something to this where I understand when Jalen was out for an extended period of time last season, they had no choice, and they started to facilitate things through Alpi. But I think that in order to play the tempo that he wants to play, I don't think he likes facilitating through Alpi.
I won't go that far. I think that Ime will do whatever it takes to win. Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you have a mismatch there and you can give Alpi 25 shots and he scores 40 points, you're going to do it. Like, I mean, I don't think he had any problem going to Alpi yesterday. He had no problem going to Alpi. He mentioned in the postgame. He's like, Alpi had it going. We were trying to give it to him as much as possible. Like, if it is the best matchup on any given night, and I think it's going to be the best matchup this entire series, I don't think that Ime has a problem giving the ball to Alpi. Now, his style of play and, like, what he could build if he could have, like, anybody in the world, I don't think that Alpi would be his center. I think he likes guys that are more athletic in that spot. They can switch from that spot. I don't want to say that, like, they're trying to make fetch happen with Alpi, but I don't think that Ime Udoka's ideal center is Alpi Şengün.
No, I don't either. But I also think that when you're in a playoff game like that and you're at home, and home court is part of this equation as well, where you're trying to find what's working, and he was working,
mm-hmm.
that you got to try and roll with that. You got to adjust on the fly and go, okay.
You don't think he did, though?
I don't.
I disagree with that.
I thought
that's
after he got the 14 quick ones, I thought that they kind of went away from it, and they got real careless with the basketball, and they settled for a lot of outside shots.
That's where we'll disagree, because to me, that was more about what Golden State was doing defensively than the Rockets. Like, that was, okay, we're going inside all we can. And it could be. Like, this is just, you know, our opinions mm-hmm. of it. To me, it was, we're going to go inside early. They're going to have lots of success. Then Golden State switched up what they were doing defensively, took the Rockets out of the success they were having with Alpi. And Alpi had some moments there in the second half as well, but they weren't as much volume as we saw in the first quarter. So I think it was more of what Golden State was doing defensively.
I think the type of touch that Alpi gets also matters, because to me, what worked for him so well in the first half, especially the first quarter, was he was getting the ball on the move off of some type of action in the paint and destroying Draymond. But later in the second half, when he would post up outside the paint like a traditional post up and try to back Draymond down, he couldn't back Draymond down.
I disagree there. There was a lot of times he was getting in the middle of the paint, just a little baby hook right over him. Like, I disagree there.
Well, yeah, in the middle of the paint. Well, I'm saying there was a few times in the second half where they would try to go to him like where Hakeem would post up, like kind of that, you know, outside.
And he would back him up. He would back him into the lane.
I saw several times where he tried to back Draymond in and Draymond didn't budge. To me, it looked like Alpi was more effective when he was able to get on the move and Draymond couldn't stay with him, couldn't move his feet.
I don't doubt that second point. I think that last night when Alpi was at his best, it's when he's in the triple threat position or he's got a step or two and he is right at the free throw line with some space or coming downhill, getting into the paint. Because now Draymond's in no man's land. Because Draymond does have enough like sand in his pants to be able to hold his own on the block with Alpi. Alpi's not going to overpower Draymond. He's just taller and he's more skilled offensive, you know, fluid offensively than Draymond is, no matter how good a defender he is. But I think that there are times when you draw the double. Golden State was throwing the kitchen sink at him. When he went down to the post, the reason why that wasn't effective was they sent a second defender from the weak side, which means you got to kick it and look for the open guy. And now you got to live and die with a guy that's probably not one of your, not going to make a good percent of his shots.
713-780-ESPN. Let's talk about the physicalness of yesterday's game. Who punched who in the mouth? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Subscribe to ESPN Houston for free on YouTube.
live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Who do you think was the more physical team last night, Rockets or Warriors?
That's a good question.
I do what I can.
I think the Rockets should like the way that game was officiated. I think they were able to be what you want to be with Golden State. You want to be handsy. You want to be physical. We know Draymond's going to do what he does, but aside from Draymond, I don't think there anyone else on that team except for maybe Looney wants to be physical.
This texture says Rockets got pushed around, bullied, beat up, typical versus Golden State. See, I couldn't agree with that or disagree with that more. Mm-hmm. The Rockets had 22 offensive rebounds. The Rockets out-rebounded Golden State by 16, 52 to 36. They had more points in the paint by 20, mm-hmm. 54 to 34. Like, those are usually stats that are a correlation of physical basketball. Watching that game yesterday, I wasn't – never once in my mind were like, oh, the Rockets are getting out-bullied. They're getting out-toughed. They're getting pushed around. If anything, it was the opposite. I thought the Rockets were the more bully of those two teams last night.
I mean, Kerr even said it after the game. Like, he did the no-bleep moment with the reporter, basically saying, I mean, with the Rockets being physical, did you tell your team?
He's mean Kerr?
Kerr, yeah.
Yeah, I saw
that. And Kerr was like, you know, I'll be sure to talk to my team about that next game. I mean, of course we talked about it. We know that's how they play. That's how they want to play. That's how they were allowed to play. And the fact is that because of what we were talking about and just the lack of just flow and continuity offensively to get anything going and get guys going, they couldn't take full advantage of what otherwise would have been the ideal way to call a game for these two teams.
Yeah, I never thought that the Rockets got pushed around. No. The one, there wasn't much in terms of like chippiness or dirtiness in that game yesterday.
Just Draymond.
Just the skirmish was the one where Draymond got to the free throw line and kind of elbowed Alpi a little bit. Not even, I mean, it wasn't like a physical elbow. It was more like a nudge. But
good on the officials for not calling anything there.
Some Rocket fans wanted a tee on Draymond.
They were begging it on Draymond. If anybody deserved to get it, it would have been him.
Oh, for sure.
But I like the fact that Alpi didn't back down, and he also was able to respond quickly to send the message. You're not doing that to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then he posterized him in between. And then when he went
early.
Yeah, it was early. But then when he went to the free throw line, he just basically said, you're not going to punk me.
No, I liked it.
And I love that.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think that should have been a technical.
I don't either.
And I like the way that Alpi handled it. Draymond was trying to get into Alpi's dome a little bit. Alpi just kind of, you know, smiled it off. I thought that, whatever. Like, that's who Draymond is, and I thought that Alpi handled it pretty well. A texture with their size advantage, the Rockets have to take the big lows and don't get in a shootout with Golden State. I think he meant lulls. I disagree. Like, if you have the rebounding advantage, don't you want more shots up? Like, if you can get a ton of offensive rebounds, don't you want to shoot as much as possible? Like, you mentioned the turnovers yesterday. 17 turnovers in that game. Mm-hmm. Golden State scored 25 points on those turnovers. If you're getting an offensive rebound, you got 22 offensive rebounds. Golden State had 36 rebounds, period. You had 22 offensive rebounds. Golden State had 30 defensive rebounds. So of the Rockets' made shots, you're averaging, you're getting about 45% of the misses.
You're almost getting a 2-for-1 on them in terms of shots on a possession.
So why would you turn it over 17 times? Like, a bad shot is better than you trying to be so fine offensively. And maybe that's a little bit of what happened yesterday. They were trying to be so fine offensively, playoffs, let's drive to the basket, let's like kick it up to the open man. But how many times did Golden State just knock the ball out of a ball handler's dribble? How many times did they deflect a pass that led to an interception or picking up a loose ball? When you have that big of an offensive rebounding advantage, just put the ball on the glass.
Oh, and how many times did you give up live ball turnovers?
So many.
Yeah, where you just got caught, then you really kind of double down on getting caught when they kind of stopped and hedged and stopped you like at the wing. And then you jump past, got caught in the air, and just threw a ball over two different stations and just got it picked off for a layup going the other way where it's like, guys, just settle down. And I thought, well, okay, it's early. They'll settle down. They'll get better. It got worse until you got to the third quarter.
Yeah, second quarter was abysmal. I mean, second quarter was some of the worst basketball the Rockets have played all year.
And you were getting good defensive efforts from Fred, from Tari, from guys that you were like not even counting as guys that can defend on this team that could be big in this series. And you were getting easy baskets off of it, but you were shooting yourself in the foot every time you got one.
Yeah, I thought they played fine defensively. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought that they were plenty good defensively to win that game.
Let me just say this, too. For all the people before this series started that were counting on Steph Curry going single digits again or thinking, oh, they've got the answer now. They've got the Steph stopper and that they're just going to be able to defend Steph Curry. You cannot defend that guy even at this stage in his career, and you cannot sit there and tell me that you thought he was going to get less than 20 points a game in this series, because it's not going to happen.
Do you think he'll get a 30-burger again?
I do. At home, for sure, he's going to get one game where he goes for 30. He'll get another 30 in this series. There's just their offense, and because of the transition and the way that they find him when they get live ball turnovers, they just find a way to make sure that he gets all of his shots, and he is a special shot maker, as we know. But I just feel like he'll have another explosion like this. But I saw people saying, well, the over-under on will he have, like, more than 20 points a game, or will he have, like, average this and that. You better hope that you just do adequate enough to keep him at about 19 points a game, because I don't think you can do it.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch. I'll save what I was going to say. Golden State fouls. I'm going to save it for tomorrow. Golden State fouls in the defensive end all game bad. The refs don't blow the whistle most of the time. You have to get physical with the ball and make the refs blow the whistle. I will say that that's where the Rockets were the softest. They were very soft with the basketball. You got to be tougher with the ball. You have to protect the basketball, and they didn't yesterday. That's where they were their softest. Like, were the refs allowing Golden State to reach and rake the Rockets across the arms? Maybe. I'm not complaining about it, but that's where you just have to be stronger.
I think that Butler talked about it after the game. The fact is, and he called himself out on it too, in the playoffs, you can't get away with tapping the ball, or whether you're tapping it to yourself or trying to tap it to a teammate. You have to make sure on every possession you are securing it, you're using two hands, you're playing strong with the ball. And I thought that the Rockets learned a tough lesson, to your point, about how even just as you're running your offense and swinging the ball around, you have to be hypersensitive to taking care of it.
They didn't at all.
That led to the a few of the turnovers in the first half.
Led to 25 Golden State points.
Yeah.
They scored 25 points off of Rocket turnovers.
That's the thing. It's one thing to say, you turn the ball up. There's turnovers where, you just throw the ball out of bounds or something like that. But when you give up a live ball turnover, it's almost like a double negative, because now you turned it over and you're allowing them to do what they want to do, which is get a man advantage and go the other way with speed, because now they're going to kill you.
Warriors delivered the first punch. Now the Rockets will respond and should dominate the rest of the series. LFG! Rocket emoji.
I don't know how you can say dominate the rest of the series when you just lost home court advantage in game one. They can get back in this series. They can make it a series. But you're not going to dominate the rest of the series after you played like that in game one, in my opinion.
Rockets in five.
Warriors
Rockets, the Rockets are going to win the series in five. The Rockets are going to run through the Warriors in the next four games. Eat your vitamins, say your prayers. What you going to do when Rocket Mania runs wild on you? That's what they're going to say.
So you don't want to like actually back that up and say they're going to win the next.
I mean, I was being silly with five.
I know.
I don't feel awful after yesterday's game.
I would still say Rockets in seven.
I'm going to stick with my prediction.
Rockets I started off the Rockets in six. I'll back it down one. But I know we'll get to more of this, later in the show. But Curry and Butler both went off. And you still hold the Warriors to under 100 points.
I hear that. But here's the other thing, right? Even when you got it down to four, that thing that I've been talking about all season long with this team reared its head again. You don't have anybody to go to when you need a bucket.
Alpie, you just said they didn't get to Alpie.
But down the stretch, they didn't do it. That's what I'm saying. You don't have a closer. You as a team, you went ISO even more so than you would if you had Butler and Curry and the guys that you can give the ball to and get out of the way and get a bucket. That's what concerns me the most. They just don't close.
You're living your best life, aren't you? You're relishing in this, aren't you?
I'm not living in it. I feel like my best life at all.
I hear a lot of joy.
Not at all. I set the table for a reason. This season is a success. I love the young roster this team has, but this is part of the growing process. This is part of getting these guys experience, understanding what playoff basketball is, and also seeing which guys are capable of taking that challenge on and playing better in game two and the rest of the series. and guys where it looks like they're deer in the headlights. Amen did not look like himself last night.
No, he looked pretty rigid. He didn't really start playing well, I thought, until the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. when it was kind of like there's nothing to lose and like reckless abandon and all that. So I saw the same thing with Amen. And there were times where Amen sat. Like, Amen a good chunk of the game. He sat Jalen Green a good chunk of the game.
Yeah, Amen felt like he kind of floated in the first half. And like, he just did not seem involved in the game. I think the worst part for him, I think this was all first half, but he missed, I believe, his first four free throws. And after the second group of free throws that he missed, he went and ran it down. Credit to him on that part. But he saved it out to, I think it was Curry, who immediately turned it to an outlet pass and points down the other end for the Warriors. Basically turned it into a fast break off his back-to-back missed free throws. It was a rough first game for Amen.
Another thing we didn't mention. How bad were they at shooting free throws yesterday?
11 for 20,
55%.
Missed 9 free throws. That's another thing that they struggled all year with, and you're like, that's not just immediately going to go away.
Not 55%, though.
I mean, Adams was brutal. Amen was brutal. Even Şengün was missing free throws. It was
Craig set the tone early. Craig's like, well, Amen about to get his first points in the playoffs, and then he planked both of them.
You watched the Shin.
I did.
Wow.
I told you I would.
I watched Harlan.
I told you I would.
Watch TNT. Did you flip it over to Chuck after the game?
I did.
How about during the half?
No.
You watched the Shins halftime?
I did.
Okay.
Murph in his pink suit.
All right. Look at you.
Loyal to my guy.
You're loyal to the soil. Not me. I bailed. I was out. I listened to Harlan. Harlan's one of my idols. I love me some Kevin Harlan. He sucked the gravity out of the arena.
Yeah.
Love me some Kevin Harlan. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. The people have a lot to say of yesterday's Rocket Game 1 loss. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Monument Chevrolet, they're the dealer that you can trust. Transparent, no hassle pricing. Get your car shopping done fast. It's always annoying whenever you're in the market for a new car. You don't know what's true. You don't know what to believe. You don't have to worry about that at Monument Chevrolet because they're going to take care of you. Monument Chevrolet has been in the Houston area for 50 years. They've helped generations of families get into new vehicles, and these families keep coming back. Why? Because they trust the people at Monument Chevrolet, just like you're going to trust the people at Monument Chevrolet. And when was the last time you had that in your car shopping process? Probably not very often. Family fill at Monument Chevrolet. They hire good people, builds a friendly atmosphere, and outstanding culture. And right now, you can still get in on this. It runs through the end of April, Truck Month. You can get the Chevy Silverado 1500s at their prices. Pay what the employees are paying and get just 2.9% interest. Now, there is some hanging little caveat here. You better act fast because their trucks are going fast. They're about to sell out. So if you don't get out there and act fast, you're going to miss your opportunity here. So get out there to Truck Month right now at Monument Chevrolet. You can visit them online, monumentchevrolet.com, or you can just visit them in person, 225 and Beltway 8. They have a massive, massive plot of land out there. You won't miss it, 225 and Beltway 8. Tons of vehicles, including the Silverado 1500s, that you can get at their prices. Get a fair deal, fast deal, easy transaction without wasting your time in aggravating, stressful negotiations. Get out to Monument Chevrolet today. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
ESPN 97.5.
You found the Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Brannan.
Rhino's asking if the Killer Bees are going to have the preeminent NFL draft expert on. That's a question for Brian. Brian, did you book the legend Lance Erline?
I have not, no.
It's a miss on your part. Strike one for the week.
Strike one for the week, okay. Yeah. What happens at 3?
We'll figure that out later. I haven't thought about it.
Undetermined punishment?
I'll probably just roast you on air.
I mean, you're going to do that anyway.
That's true. Yeah. Not much changes around here. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Giving you a $100 Visa gift card and a pair of tickets to be the first to see Marvel Studios Thunderbolts. Actually, I'm not sure that first thing is true. But you're going to go watch Marvel Studios Thunderbolts and get a $100 Visa gift card a little bit later. Blankers, you going to charge anything for if you win to your contestant?
No.
For me, I need the invite for your plus one. I will turn you down. It's okay. It's just it's a status thing. And then a finder's fee. An agent 10% cut on that Visa gift card. Just so you know. Win or lose, Rockets can't bring Van Vliet back. I can't take another season of him. Maybe a conversation for a different day, but hey, you brought it up, and we do what you want us to say.
Yeah, I thought about that, but you need him. You need him if you're going to make a trade this offseason, if you feel like.
But he wouldn't be back.
Right.
Let's qualify it. Let's qualify it. Will Fred VanVleet be on this roster next year? What are your percentages?
I would say, especially if it continues to go this route in the playoffs, I would say it's 20%.
20% he's back?
Yeah.
That's a little less than me. I would go like 70-30 probably. But same vein of
because
thought here.
The real like technicality in this where you really got to play it close is I'm not even signing him back. I know he wants to come back. I know they've had discussions. I'm not signing him back unless it's a preconceived notion that I'm doing this so that I can ship you somewhere else to get better.
Will they have the luxury of doing that? Like, don't you have to give the option notice like pretty early in the offseason before you can work on trades?
The dates have all changed now.
Yeah, I know.
When they can do things. So, yeah, I don't want to misspeak. I just feel like I don't want him back. I don't care. And he's discounting it. How much? Because I don't think there's a discount big enough for me to take it.
No.
I'm only bringing him back if it means I'm bringing him back short term so that I can spin him around and in a trade to get somebody better.
Yeah, it's an option to keep the salary so you can move it for a bigger contract. I'm with you. That's what I hope happens.
Yeah, because it's not just the shooting. It's also the decision making. I mean, that pull-up three he had in the fourth quarter and he's done that, you know, throughout the season. Just these random moments where he decides he's going to heat check while he's 1-for-10 from three. I can't live with it. And beyond that, I mean, obviously we've spent a lot of time this season. We spent a lot of time today talking about the Rockets' need for a go-to scorer, a closer in the final minutes. They also at times we talked about how poorly the offense ran in the half court. They need a guy to run the offense better. I mean, Fred's not getting. I mean, we can blame I guess the other guys on the team as well. But it's outside of dump the ball to Alpi in some sort of action or in the post, the offense does not run well even with Fred out there.
The fact that he tried to clap his way into his good graces after taking that horrendous shot from 35, 40 feet was even more annoying. Like he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn all night long. And then he decides to pull that one.
Especially as they're getting back into the game.
And then he's like, hey, guys, come on, man. I'm your guy. I'm still here with you. Your ass should be sitting on the bench. Ime won't do it, but that's where you belong based on the night that you've put in front of us for that to that point in the game and then to still take that shot. I'm sitting you down.
Is he the most selfish Houston Rocket?
He's definitely selfish at times. Because there was another possession. It was first half. It was in the midst of Alpi's great first half. But...
I know what you want me to say.
It's more leading the witness than like trying to get you to say anything. But like he's not he's you just look at the season averages. Fred VanVleet, 34.5% 3-point shooter. Jabari 35, Jalen 35. Dylan Brooks is your best shooter that plays routinely at 40%. So like all those guys are in the same window between Jalen, Jabari, and Fred VanVleet. So if all those guys are in the same window, well, like those guys should all have an equal distribution of who takes the shots, right? And you could say, well, Jabari can't get his own shot, so he's going to have less 3 points attempted per game. Jalen can create his own shot, so he should be up there. Why in the world's Fred VanVleet taking 13 threes?
I don't know.
13 threes? He's not one of your top four 3-point shooters that play on a consistent basis. Dylan Brooks is your top one. Jalen, like I'm not counting Cam Whitmore, Aaron Holiday, and Jock Landale because they're not rotational players, at least in the NBA playoffs to date. Dylan Brooks, Jalen Green, Jabari all have better 3-point percentages than Fred VanVleet. And he's the dude jacking up 13 threes.
This goes back to what I was saying when there were issues that I had with Ime, too. He will easily sit Alpi down in a moment's notice. He will do the same with Jalen Green. He will do the same with Cam Whitmore or any of the young guys. He won't do it for Fred. And you have to do it for Fred, especially in a situation like that. If you know he ain't got it going, and yet he's still going to be hell-bent on shooting it, at a certain point, if he won't stop, I'll make you stop.
And yeah, that's the thing. Because like, you can be out on the floor if you have a bad shooting night. That's going to happen. I get it. Like, you're not going to bench Steph Curry for being 1-for-10 from the floor. Just a little bit of passiveness to your game. Just a little. Just a tad.
When they say there are times when there's a reason why you're open, he didn't even give Golden State the opportunity because he would just load it up from 40 feet and say, incoming. And it wasn't even close, but he wouldn't stop.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, the point guard's job is to get the best shot for his team. And when he jacks up contested threes or pull-up threes, he's clearly not trying to get the best shot for his team. I get it at times when, you know, the Warriors over-rotate and he's wide open. If you're wide open, you got to take the shot. It's the coach's job to take you off the court, as you said. But some of the selfish shots he takes just are maddening.
The jab-step, spin move. Oh, my God, yes. I wasted too much time. Here comes a ball that's going to arc 85 feet in the air and hit the back of the iron hard or crotch it between the backboard and the rim. What are we doing?
I don't know. Alex said, B-Mac, you just made the list. Junior Broncos told you to shut up.
Oh, well.
I don't know. I don't remember what you said. But Alex, what did he say that made him make the list?
I just think Ime's got to sit him down.
No doubt. He does. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Hive has thoughts. They have decisions on who should be playing and who shouldn't be playing. Do you make any rotational changes after what you saw yesterday? 713-780-ESPN, Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.